Gaius Julius Caesar, the powerful Roman leader.
From a young age, I wanted to be a leader and a hero. I fought hard to gain control of many territories for Rome. I think it was my fate to become dictator of Rome. I was born on the 12th of July, 100 BCE, in Rome, in Italy. I'm known as Julius Caesar, but my first name was Gaius. Julius was my family's surname, and Caesar was the name of the group of people we came from, our tribe. My mother's name was Aurelia, and my father was called Gaius Caesar. He was the governor of Asia Minor, and although he came from an aristocratic Roman family, we were not rich. We were not poor either, but there were many people who were far wealthier than we were. I had an enjoyable childhood playing and fighting with my friends. I learned to ride at a young age and developed a passion for horses and racing. And we had many competitions to see who was the fastest, most fearless rider. I knew that it was important to be educated, but my father taught me that the most important thing was to know how to fight well. In our time, Rome had many enemies, and I knew about all of them. Rome was a republic, which meant that its rulers were elected by the people or their representatives. The government consisted of the consuls, the Senate, and the Assembly. At the head of the government were the consuls. These were two people who were elected every year. The consuls controlled the day-to-day working of the government and were the only people who could command the army. Below them was the Senate. This consisted of 300 men called senators who came from the aristocracy. They kept their positions for life and were chosen by the two consuls. The assembly was made up of all the ordinary men in Rome. They had the right to vote and to give speeches, and they chose the two consuls. My father taught me that political power and military power were connected, and it was not possible to have one without the other. He also taught me that to survive, it was vital to gain the respect of ordinary people. These were the people who really had the power because they chose who was in charge of the government. His advice proved to be valuable in the future. My youth was a time of civil war in Rome, with two groups fighting for control. On the one side was a man called Gaius Marius, who was married to my father's sister Julia. Marius was the leader of the Populares party. He represented the ordinary people of Rome, and we supported him. On the other side was a general called Sulla, who was from an aristocratic background. Both sides fought violently and committed terrible acts of war, but in 88 BCE, Sulla did something that nobody had done before. He led his army into Rome to try to take control of the city by force. The fighting continued. 4 years later, when I was 16 years old, my father died. Suddenly, as his eldest son, I became the leader of our family. At that time, my uncle Marius was in power, together with one of his revolutionary friends called Cinna. Cinna had a lovely daughter called Cornelia, and we decided to get married. Later, we had a daughter called Julia. In 83 BCE, Marius and Cinna lost power to Sulla, and life became dangerous for me. Sulla was afraid of the political power I had because of my wife's family's position in society. He ordered me to divorce her, or he would take my property away from me. I refused, and he added my name to a list of those who were going to be executed. There were already a lot of names on the list. In the beginning, my friends took me to a safe hiding place. I was lucky that I had powerful friends and family, and my mother's family in particular had enough influence with Sulla to get me an appeal and then a pardon. In spite of my pardon, I decided not to return to Rome, and I stayed away until Sulla died in 78 BCE. During this time, I joined the Roman army. In 79 BCE, I was awarded a civic crown, a crown made of leaves, for saving the life of a citizen. After that, I was sent by my commanding officer to a place called Bithynia in northern Anatolia, the country now known as Turkey, to negotiate with the king to buy a fleet of ships. I returned to Rome in 78 BCE after Sulla died and started working for the government as a lawyer. I discovered that I had a talent for public speaking, and I soon developed a good reputation. I made many friends and also a number of enemies. But it was a group of pirates that took away my liberty. On a visit to Greece in 75 BCE, I visited the island of Rhodes, where I was captured by pirates who demanded a ransom for my release. While we waited for the money to be found and sent, the pirates treated me reasonably well. I had decided that I would be in less danger if I was friendly with them, and so I did my best to be pleasant. I joked that when they let me go, I would come back to find them and would then kill them. They laughed and joked too. But this is exactly what I did. Once I was free, I gathered together some ships and soldiers. We sailed back to the sea around Rhodes and found the pirates. This time, there was no laughing and joking. I wanted revenge, and I also wanted to warn other pirates that kidnapping was not a good way for them to make money. We cut their throats, and I think my message was received and understood. In 74 BCE, while I was still travelling, Asia Minor was attacked by the king of Pontus, Mithridates VI. I quickly created a private army of my own men and began defending a few towns that had been attacked. This gave the Roman commander time to organise his army and attack Mithridates. News of my actions travelled fast, and in 73 BCE, I was elected as a military tribune, an officer in the army with the power to command, and I led my men into battle with pride. I returned home and discovered that after 15 years of marriage, my wife had died in childbirth. Family and friends tried to make me feel better, but I knew that working hard was the only way I could forget my sadness. The assembly elected me as the financial officer for Andalusia in Spain, which was a Roman territory. My aunt Julia died, and before I left for Spain, I gave a speech at her funeral which reminded the ordinary people, the voters in the assembly, of my connections to the influential Marius family. In 68 BCE, a seat became available in the Senate, and I was selected to become one of the 300. I had not forgotten how important it was to have political power if I wanted to follow a military career. In 67 BCE, it was time for me to marry again. My second wife, Pompeia, was a granddaughter of Sulla, but the marriage ended a few years later. In the meantime, my political and military duties continued to keep me busy. When I returned to Rome in 65 BCE, I was elected as the official responsible for games and entertainment. To me, keeping the ordinary people of Rome entertained and happy was an important role, as it would make me popular with the voting members of the assembly. Making myself popular, however, was very expensive, and I was in debt. I became friendly with a man called Crassus, who was the richest man in Rome. He kindly paid my debts for me. My efforts to please the people had not been a waste of money, because in 62 BC I was elected consul. I continued to look for ways to increase my power, and I wanted to surround myself with influential people. One of these was General Pompey, known as Pompey the Great, who had just succeeded in making Syria a Roman territory. In 60 BCE, I persuaded him and the rich Crassus to form a political partnership with me that would benefit us all. We later became known as the First Triumvirate, but at the time our enemies used to call us the Three-Headed Monster. In 61 BCE, I became governor of Spain. Our territories in far distant lands brought Rome great riches. It made me realize that our empire should expand further. On my return, I was elected once more as consul. In 59 BCE, when I was 40 years old, I married again. My third wife was a beautiful young woman called Calpurnia, whose father was a close friend of Crassus, and we celebrated our marriage with a grand ceremony. We didn't get the chance to spend much time together, as news from the north suggested there was great trouble ahead. I was pleased, for wherever there was trouble, there was also opportunity. In 58 BCE, I continued north with my army and became governor of northern Italy and southern France. My soldiers were well-trained and ready for battle. We defeated the armies we faced in what we called Gaul, France, Belgium, Switzerland, the Netherlands, and Germany. It was not easy, as we had to climb wild mountains and cross deep, wide rivers. Also, feeding thousands of men needed organization, and keeping them fit and ready for battle was essential. By the year 55 BCE, we had reached the Belgian beaches. 32 kilometers across the water was Britain. This was a challenge for any military leader, particularly late in the summer when winter was not far away. We built 80 ships, and with 10,000 soldiers we set off. The waves and wind caused great difficulty for our men, and some of them died on the voyage. We arrived in Britain and set up armed camps. The Britons were organized, but we made solid progress. The bad weather continued to make our lives almost impossible, and we did not have enough supplies. I made the decision that we should go back to France until the winter was over. This would give us time to prepare for the next attack. In the summer of 54 BCE, we invaded Britain again. I took 25,000 foot soldiers and 2,000 men on horseback. But, to our surprise, the big defense we had been expecting was not there. Once again, our biggest enemy was nature. A terrible storm destroyed about 40 of our boats, but we managed to repair them and continued. We fought our way through the country and arrived at a place called Westminster. But news from France, where we had our main camp, was bad. It was necessary to return there before winter arrived. So, to the surprise of the Britons, we took all our soldiers and travelled back across the sea. You may ask, what was gained from the expedition? We had researched the territory and the local people, gathering information that would be useful in later invasions. We also learned about the chariots and lightweight boats the Britons used, and we were able to adapt them for our own use. The bad news in France was that local armies had joined forces under a new leader called Vercingetorix, who proved to be a tough opponent. Much blood was spilt on both sides, but my soldiers were so well trained that we won. As a result, Rome ruled most of Gaul. During the winter of 52 BCE, I wrote a book called The Gallic Wars. And while I was writing, news arrived from home that Crassus had died. While I was gaining new lands, Crassus had been my support in Rome. The return journey to Rome was long and tiring. but it was good to see our soldiers still held control of the lands we had captured. On my arrival, I noted many changes. Pompey, the third member of our little group, had gained victories and land in the east. But he wanted more power. In Rome, he was planning a rebellion against me. He sent a message telling me to put my men under his command. This was an insult and a challenge to my authority. In 49 BCE, I told my army they had to fight for their lives, and if they lost, they would be powerless under Pompey's control. As I led my soldiers over the river Rubicon, I knew that I was breaking the rule that Roman generals did not bring their armies into Rome. A civil war was the result, and a fight to the death. If we were defeated, my generals and I would be executed. In 48 BCE, after bitter battles where Romans fought Romans, we defeated Pompey's army, and Rome, like most of Europe, was at last under my command. Soon after my victory, news arrived from Egypt, where a civil war was also taking place. I decided that we should join in the fighting and make Egypt a Roman territory. Pompey's army, now weak, had also gone there. In 47 BCE, I set off with my army and arrived in Alexandria. On arriving, I heard that Pompey had been killed by King Ptolemy. When I met Ptolemy's advisor, Pothinus, I learned that the king was now also my enemy. I needed to look for other support amongst the Egyptians, and that is how I met Cleopatra, the sister of King Ptolemy. Cleopatra was at war with her brother, and by joining forces with her, our armies defeated his. I could not rest, though, because I had to make sure we kept control of each new territory we had won. I left 15,000 soldiers in Egypt and fought my way back home, gaining yet more lands for Rome. To celebrate, I wrote Veni, Vidi, Vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. Back home, I realized that strong control was needed, and my time was taken up planning a new future for Rome. The Senate gave me the power of a dictator. Some people in the Senate who had supported Pompey were unhappy that I was in a position of such power and complained, but I didn't take them seriously. I should have done, because when my soldiers were absent, I was attacked by 60 of Pompey's supporters. They approached me from behind, and they were armed with knives. I was stabbed 23 times, and my blood ran down the steps of the Senate. It was the end of an era. I hoped the Romans would do something worthy with the legacy that I left behind me.